Today marks 30 years since the end of the Iran-Iraq War. Saddam Hussein launched the conflict against Iran's new Shia Islamic Republic in 1980 after the Iranian Revolution. And by the time the war ended in 1988, more than 1 million troops and civilians were dead. Joining us now is Borzu Deragahi, a journalist and senior fellow at the Atlantic Council. And Borzu, we forget in the West that so many people died in this war. Remind us what it was about.
Tensions between Saddam Hussein's Iraq and Iran had been building for years over various disputes. It was really about who's the big kid on the block when it comes to the Persian Gulf. And once the revolution took place in Iran in 78, 79, Saddam Hussein won. He saw an opportunity to take on a weakened Iran. And two, he was worried that the revolution in Iran, which was rooted in Shia Islam, would spread to the majority Shia population of his country. And so he made a preemptive strike and invaded Iran.
Now, the global alliances here, perhaps not surprisingly, are muddied. The United States publicly supported Iraq with intelligence and money. President Reagan said that the U.S. could not afford to let Iran win this war. But on the other hand, this is also the time of the Iran-Contra controversy. The United States was indirectly supplying arms to Iran. So tell us about the alliances here and where the United States sat.
Well, I think that the Iran-Contra issue was sort of an anomaly, kind of a bizarre scam that took place with some freelancers in Washington with the approval of the top levels of the Reagan administration. But generally, the alliances, and this is what I think is still really important about this war, the alliances are the alliances that are in place now. You had the Saudis and the Emiratis and the U.S. and much of the West supporting Saddam Hussein, while you had, the Syrian regime and to some extent China supporting the Iranian government. Mm. And, Russia at the time was a backer of the Saddam regime. So it really shaped the region to a certain extent. It created the alliances that endure to this day.
There are also other hints of things that we see today, which is chemical weapons played an important role in this war. What can you tell us about that?
I think that that is another interesting aspect of the war. Saddam Hussein repeatedly used chemical weapons against the Iranian troops during the war. And Iran went to the UN, went to international bodies and said, hey, Saddam Hussein is doing this to us. And the UN and the other international bodies, including the U.S., didn't do much. And so this launched the impetus within the Iranian regime. And, maybe some people would disagree with me, but I've looked into this. This launched the impetus for what later became the Iranian nuclear program. Hmm. Because it was at that time, really, with these the use of weapons of mass destruction against the Iranian government, against the Iranian troops, that the Iranian government at that time, the Islamic Republic, decided that it would be a good idea to start pursuing their own weapons of mass destruction.
Huh. And by the way, is it right that the technology that the United States gave to Saddam Hussein eventually helped him develop some of the chemical and biological weapons that he was using?
I think that definitely, yes. I think that the West played a role in the chemical weapons that he used. And later on, the worries he created about chemical weapons and biological weapons, that includes the U.S., that includes Germany, and so on. So, in the eyes of many in the region, it was the West that armed Iraq with the chemical weapons that later the Bush administration said that, were the raison d'etre for its an invasion of Iraq in 2003.
Tangled web there for sure. 30 years later, Borzu, can you draw a line from the end of the Iran-Iraq War in 1988 to what the Middle East looks like today? What does it teach us?
The end of the Iran-Iraq War left, an inconclusive end to the conflict in the region. Iraq was impoverished from the war, even though it hadn't lost. That was one of the reasons, one of the main reasons it decided to invade Kuwait. And that led ultimately from 1991, the first Gulf War to liberate Kuwait, to the second Gulf War to invade, occupy, and change Iraq. And as we know, it was the change of regime in Iraq that gave Iran the opportunity to expand its reach and become the larger regional power that it is now. And it also was the invasion of Iraq that unleashed al-Qaeda in Iraq, which later became ISIS.
And yet we don't really talk about the Iran-Iraq war that often, especially in the context of everything else that's happening there now. Borzu Dirigahi, Senior Fellow with the Atlantic Council, thanks so much for your time.
It's been a pleasure.